fire district requirements. This is a long one here. Compliance with a lot of different articles for stormwater, 043.000. Temporary structure, article 026.000. Motorized vehicles, article 029.000. Article 030.000, shooting range. And all wastewater permitting shall be through Taney County Environmental Services in conjunction with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. Let's go back up real quick and kind of get you started on, you saw the zoning and where it was at. You can see the access is right here where it touches the outer road. Kind of goes back in here. This is that access point on the outer road. Looking left, it goes right into a dead end. Looking right, goes back to the 86 Junction T spot. This is a little bit of information. I'm going to be really brief because they made a really well presentation they're going to give you. It's going to give you a lot more information than I have. This is what we got sent with the application. Kind of gives you an idea. They got some lakes in here, a lot of hiking trails, walking trails. Just like looks like an education venue right there for the youth. It's a big, big thing to teach about conservation to the children of Missouri and I guess the nation. We can get back to this. I'm sure they're going to talk about it, but you got outdoor skills and education, firearm safety, 3D archery, shooting ranges, sporting clays, fishing ponds, hiking, biking, off-road vehicle activities. We got their hours of use or conduct when they're going to conduct business. I think it's contingent on the activity. Some might go later, depending on what it is. I'm sure they can speak to that. They talk about noise, decibels, and traffic and a lot of stuff. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the applicant to come up and talk.
Cody, I think you've teed us up well. We've got a brief presentation that we've put together to be able to outline some of the items that Cody has already outlined. I guess one point of clarification, Cody, in your introduction, there was mention of Article 29 for the motorized vehicle track as well as Article 30 for the shooting range. Mm-hmm. Was it also mentioned for 26 for the temporary structures and uses? I think that's also part of consideration for this.
If I didn't put it in there, I should have. I read that, and yes, okay. It needs to be applied to.
Just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page before we got started. Very good. Well, thank you, everyone. My name is Jacob Reinig. I'm with Kimley Horn and Associates. I've got a few representatives that are signed to speak. From Big Cedar Lodge, Bob Zimmer and Landry Weston.
Gotcha.
Cody, if you want to go ahead and advance. So today we want to talk to you guys about the latest development for Big Cedar Lodge, which is the Outdoor Academy. As Cody had mentioned, there is some history with this property. We are looking to do something different from what that property had previously been zoned to do. As you can see from the list here, this is some of the activities that we would anticipate as part of that site development plan that we had shown or presented to you guys thus far. And really, I mean, kind of think of this as your summer camp. The outdoor activities that you typically would see or sign with those particular venues, that's really kind of what we're trying to do here with this particular one as well. Next slide. So the next couple of images that we've got here are renderings of what we think the clubhouse or the main lodge will look like. This is going to serve as a central gathering point for the development, at which point then folks will be able to travel to the various different activities that are set up throughout that site plan. The motorized vehicle tract permit is so that we can utilize ATVs as well as side-by-sides to be able to take folks around the property with it being as large as it is. Having them walk may be prohibitive to some of the visitors. Thank you, Cody. As Cody has shown, this is the site plan that has been presented, and there's also the operational plan that was provided as part of the permit application. We currently plan for the operating hours to be 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week with an anticipation of 10 employees, average daily guests of 50, and then special events may include up to 250 guests. And as you can see here, and if you look at an aerial, which we will a little bit later here too, a lot of the development as it stands and as it's intended is going to remain as it looks today. There's not a lot of adjustments that are planning to be made as part of us being here. We're really trying to utilize nature as it is in the spirit of what it is that Big Cedar has tried to do up to this point. If you go to the next slide, please. So some of the details, the area for the four properties that Cody had indicated is just a little under 800 acres. It's currently zoned as A1 agricultural, and those are the three conditional use permits that in discussions with the county we believe are necessary to be able to realize the activities that we've got shown in that list before you. So in our research for this presentation, one of the things that we found is that there's actually a huge demand for this type of venue as well as for this type of education. 4-H actually indicated that this is one of their largest growing segments of exposure that they're looking for in their youth and those outdoorsmen to be. And we've also got elements at both the high school level as well as the collegiate level with clubs that are participating in these types of activities out there today. And so this would just be something that would be able to help with facilitating those types of activities. The list on the top there indicates some of the skills that are planning to be offered as part of this development. I'd also like to note a couple of unique ones here, which is game calling and wildlife watching. And we'll touch on those a little bit later, but just remember those as we continue along this discussion. We also wanted to mention that we're not alone. We're not the only ones that are looking to try to invest in this particular aspect. There's actually a lot of investment nationwide through various different agencies and organizations that are working to build this level of understanding and education. In the spirit of Big Cedar and what that team looks to accomplish, you know, that conservation and sustainability are at the forefront of what they're trying to do. And so as we've been working through the development of our site plans and preparing for this presentation, there's been a number of different aspects, as you see on the screen here, that we've been looking at to be able to implement sustainability, conservation, and be good stewards of the land to the best of our abilities. The one at the bottom I really want to note, which is regarding strategic grading. I know I mentioned earlier that we're not planning on doing a substantial amount of that. And then with the sediment basin placement, that really has to do with water. I know that we've been in a drought recently, and so there's concerns associated with what are we doing with those lakes or ponds that you had saw in those site development. Our goal is really to try to capture rainwater on the 800 acres that we have to be able to make those ponds work, more so than trying to drill more wells to be able to grab water that way. In regards to specific aspects related to shooting sports, we've been partnering with some of the industry leaders associated with those areas. Winchester Ammunition has been talking to us about ways to recycle spent ammunition, and we've also looked into programs regarding more eco-friendly targets, specifically to clay pigeons. And I know I told you guys to remember earlier on in the presentation specific to the game calling as well as the wildlife viewing. Part of the goals with the conservation and the sustainability is to be able to rebuild and continue to maintain the habitats that are currently out there today so that we can see nature the way that nature intended. Part of our research and part of what Big Cedar was able to offer as we were preparing for this is this isn't the first time that they've looked to try to maintain that conservation and that sustainability. There's a nonprofit organization out there called Audubon International, and they certify different developments and projects based off of how green they are for the environment. And so, as you can see from the list here, there's a number of facilities that Big Cedar already has in program that are certified with this particular nonprofit. And we're hoping that this could be another one to come. So circling back a little bit more to tonight's ask, we're here for the request of three conditional use permits. The property is currently zoned as A1. For the three permits, the one related to temporary structures and uses is specifically for trade events or potential competitions that may be hosted based off the activities that are available on site. To be able to house that special event crowd of the 250 that's indicated. Related to the motorized vehicle tracks, that's specifically for ATVs and side-by-sides to move guests around the property, as well as supplies to facilitate some of the activities that we're looking to perform. In addition to that, there may be an opportunity for some trail riding, not at high speeds, not racing, of some of those ATVs through some of the natural paths that are already on property. And then, And then the last one's related to shooting sports, and that one's for the five-stand activity as well as the sporting clays. So this map has got an aerial behind it just so we can give you guys some more context from that aspect. As Cody had mentioned, we've got 65 that's off to the west, and we've got the Branson Airport hiding behind the four-minute sign to the east. And so the general layout and location of this area we've got, and I think, Cody, if you click, there may be some things that pop up. I think this is the only one that's got action to it. Or we broke it, one of the two.
It does. I don't know what I've done.
That's okay.
Oh, it worked over. Try that down arrow.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh. If it's possible, I memorized it enough to speak from it. Oh, there it is. There we go.
The four was messing it up.
I got you. Okay. So like we've mentioned, that the property is adjacent to 65 and the Branson Airport. Both of those are already noise generators, and I know that sound was a question when we had brought this to light for the commission. Go on ahead and advance again. There is significant topography in this area. I know we're in the Ozark Mountains, but even in this area, it is extremely mountainous. There's a substantial amount of trees, and we're hoping to use those as buffers to some of the sound generating activities that are intended to be good neighbors and stewards of the area. We've looked at the traffic for what we're looking to do here, and I've got another slide to speak to that a little bit further on in the presentation. And then related to safety, again, we're planning on managing this property like the other ones to make sure there's nobody wandering off from where we want them to be and to be able to keep it safe for the activities that we have planned. So I've got two more items to talk about, and then we'll open it up for comments and questions. The first one specific to sound assessment. We had performed a sound assessment preemptively, knowing the type of activities that we were planning to pursue. And so we went ahead and did an assessment back in August, to analyze two things. The first one was the ambient noise level, which is just what you hear when nothing is going on. And then the other one was the maximum noise or sound level that you would anticipate from sound generating activities. And so what we did was, you can see the red outline of the property there. Oh, can't see it with the, there you go, thank you, Cody. The red outline of the property there, that's the same subject property outline that we've been looking at thus far. The red dots are what we identified as what we're calling sound generation originators. More or less, that's where we were going to make the noise that we were going to record at one of the yellow dots adjacent to it. So you can see ST1 is next to SP1. And so on and so forth. That's where we set up the microphones to figure out what the sound was going to be in that location. And so if you want to go to the next slide, Cody. So in table two, the ambient noise level as generated when we analyzed it for an hour and a half, an hour and 25 minutes, was 43 decibels. That's equivalent to your refrigerator running in your kitchen. The next piece of it was the maximum sound levels, and as you can see from the second column in there, the majority of the maximum sound levels is less than 70, which 70 is about the level that I'm speaking to you guys right now. And so that's the sound level at the location where it's being measured, not where the origination of the sound came from. I like to draw that distinction. There is one outlier, which is ST4, and that is specifically at the entrance to the property adjacent to 65. So as we mentioned before, there are some other contributing ambient noise levels in that area as well. Based off of the analysis, we think that these are all within industry standards from an environmental standpoint, and we will leave it with that. The next topic that I've got for y'all is related to traffic. So with the 10 anticipated employees, 50 anticipated guests on an average, and the anticipation of potentially 250 guests, we looked at two intersections that would be utilized for this development, 86 and 65, and 86 and Thunderbird Drive. And when we plug that additional volume into our models, it shows that the level of service, which is how we measure traffic use, is a C or greater, and anything below an F is considered to be failing. We're right in the middle. There's still capacity even with what it is that we're planning to generate. And so with that, that's the extent of what